Raised Rowdy.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nikki T.
Hello, I'm the other host, Kurt Ozon.
And back for the second time, our boy, Mr. Baker Blankenship.
Man, it feels good.
Welcome back, baby.
I know. It feels good to be back on the table.
Yeah.
Where we started.
Were we your first podcast or second one or something like that?
It was like, I felt like I was in my first real podcast.
Yeah.
Let's just say that this was the first, last time was the first time.
Yeah. Or yeah, close to
last time
it,
was the first
just
time.
Say.
Yeah, it was the first time.
But it was like right at the start of your journey.
Yeah, I drove my little, I just got my new truck. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like the day before, I was still texting, like, yeah, I'm just trying to get insurance so I can drive my truck so I don't have to drive my mom's car. Ended up making it work, and then we drove down here.
Hey,
I did it.
It's the best.
I didn't have anything else to do that week.
Yeah.
It was just the one podcast I had to do, and I was like, so stoked.
I remember talking to you then about, like, just everything, and your eyes were so wide, and you hadn't, like, really explored really touring or anything yet, and... man, you've had a lot of dates on the books since then.
I feel like I haven't been home for more than 2 weeks. Oh, gosh, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've
busy
been
boy.
Moving since January 15th, and that's just like, I don't want to go home.
Just running.
Yeah.
Well, this is a new regular.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
It's good, though.
It is fun. Very fun. I get to meet everybody now besides, like, just talking to them on the phone.
Yeah,
this one person came up to me the other day, and they're like, a year and a half ago, I commented on your TikTok you posted on this day and that day, and I was like, I'm so glad I finally got to meet you.
Aw.
I was like,
that's so
it's
cool.
It's so weird.
A man of the people.
Yeah.
Dude.
Honestly, I would say that, too. Like, we got to see you at, what was it? Like, it was in Auburn, I think, or...
Oh, the...
What was it, like, live?
Yeah, Live on the Plains.
Live on the Plains.
With Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
Tyler Childers, Hudson Westbrook, Braxton Keith, and Mountain Grass Unit. I remember.
It was sick.
It was dope, because it was my first festival.
Yeah.
And I had my own green room. It was like my own little trailer and everything. And they were like, yeah, this is all yours. I was like, sick.
Bro, your energy is electric. I love it.
I know. Me too.
Well, I just feel like there's no room for sadness.
Yeah, bro. 100%. Yeah.
You only have this much time.
That's right.
Don't waste any of it.
I just love the little things that you are appreciating. Like, I love that. It's fun to be around.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate you appreciating my appreciation.
No, I just... my dad whooped my tail when I was little, so...
It worked.
A lot of people were like, man, you're so nice. I feel like... Well, when I was little, if I wasn't, I got my tail whooped. You know?
Yeah.
I got 6 whoopings, you know, back to back to back, and then I had to sit in my room
and
talk to nobody.
Been there.
That's the life I had, too, you know? Like, I grew up with a dad that every once in a while would get that belt off.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was my mom. I was just talking to everybody about this the other day because my guitar player, he said he never had a whooping. And I was like... Well, let me give you one.
I was going to say, you take your bell off, you missed a note on stage, you just...
Well, I was like, when I was a kid, if I did something and I got a whooping for it, I probably never did it again.
Mm-mm. You weren't doing that again. And if you were, you were like, dang, okay.
Yeah, I know the consequences. Yeah. And mom was going to whoop me first. And then she said, now you got to wait till your dad gets home.
Been there.
And when he gets home, he's going to whoop you again. And so you knew you had it bad.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on the couch and just thinking like, oh my gosh, when he gets home,
it's
going to be hell.
I remember my mom had this like paddle one time and like I didn't get hit often, but if I did, I did something I really shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And it was usually lying about something. And I think I was like playing ball in the house and broke a lamp and I said the cat did it and the cat did not do it. And so I was lying and my mom had this paddle and it broke. Like, she literally broke it off. Yeah. And I laughed. And she said, you won't be laughing when dad gets home. And I was like, I wasn't. Yeah.
No, that was the worst ones I hated is it was my first time ever going to get my own Switch. And I thought I was going to be smart.
God.
And I got like a small limp one that was going to break real easy. And she said, well, now you done messed up. She said, I'm going to get one now. And that was the worst decision.
And that's a Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. It didn't end well for me. No. We got a good butt whooping and had to do dishes for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all that to be said, it's like you're a stand-up dude now, so.
Yeah, no, all that being said, it felt like it made me a good person.
Yeah.
You know, look at life in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool
very appreciative of my parents doing that.
Yeah. Honestly, it's the same way for me. Like, my mom was very hands-on and strict at first and got a little more lenient as I started becoming an adult.
Yeah, that too. Like, I realized once I started doing things that I wouldn't get in trouble, I was like, oh, well, if you just do what they say, then it's really not that hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So once I got a little bit older, I didn't get as much whoopings. I still would because I was a little liar. I'm not gonna lie. Dude, I would get my brothers to do something. I'd be like, it wasn't me. I swear, oh my God. It wasn't me, Mom. And then I'd get whooping. They'd get a whooping. But no, after a while, it was kind of like, yep, if I just do what I'm told, do it right the first time.
That's right.
Yep. You don't have to do it again.
That's part of growing up for sure. I remember like when I was young and not doing my homework because I was like, I mean, I want to go out and play football with my friends. Yeah.
That's a paddling.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Well, I'd get detention when I was like young enough that I wasn't like a bad kid in school. I mean, I was ADD, so I was probably annoying to my teachers, but like, I wasn't like a bad kid in school. But then I'd get detention, and my mom was like, "All right, well, you're gonna get whooped, and you're gonna get detention.
Yeah. Like
now, you're not gonna be able to go out and play."
Well, the bad thing was that all my schools, like, it was a very it was a small town, so like my mom knew everybody.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to deal with anything at school, but like they would call Mom and be like, "Hey, I don't know if you need to know this or not, but Baker was being a little rude today." And then I'd get home, Mom would be like, "So, what's this?" And I was like,
"Oh shit,
how do you know about that?" And then I look at it now that I see things that I'm doing now that I'm like, "Oh, I see why." He did all that. Or why they did all that, because it makes so much sense now that I'm older. I'm like, thank you so much. Well, for doing that.
And I mean, realistically, that helps you figure out how to treat people on the road. That helps you figure out how to treat your fans. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'll say, and we saw this when you were at Live on the Plains, was you interacted with fans more than anyone else that I saw. You were out shaking hands and talking to people and giving them your time. After your show, you know what I mean?
Gives me chills.
Yeah, but it's you were out there in it with, and your fans, man, I'll tell you this, they will never forget those experiences.
Yeah. I think that if they give me an experience that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
The all day that I did, we drove there and I sat in my green room and talked to people until I had to go play a 45-minute set. Mm-hmm. The least I can do is walk my little happy tail right off stage and go down there and say hi.
Yeah.
And I'll preach that every day because some people, I didn't realize, they get off stage and they go do whatever.
Or they get out of there.
Or they just bounce.
Yeah.
And I'm like, y'all are nuts. I don't understand why people come back to your shows. I don't. Well, I do, but sometimes I'm just like,
it gets to be tough.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard.
It's and that's part of work, right? Yeah. Which is a weird thing to say that like socializing and meeting people that your music means a lot to is work.
Yeah.
But it is.
No, it is.
And I'm not saying there's a right or wrong way. What I am saying though is that when you do open up and when you give that little bit extra to your fans, they will not forget it. That's when they're going to come back and buy a ticket.
Yeah.
That's when they're going to make sure they tell all their friends about
songs. Well, I just like when my fans come back to my shows and they're like, that's like we've been on the road for the past little bit and I think I've seen the same person at least 4 times.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. Because he comes back and he's like, do you remember me from the last show? And I'm like, yeah, I remember because we stood here and talked for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was, it's just, it's fun. Yeah. It's really fun because you get to hear all these people's stories. Mm-hmm. You get to meet these people, and like at the end of the night, you're best friends.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting thing too, especially social media, because people feel so connected to each other, even when sometimes like they don't know you, or like you met them, but you're not like close friends.
Yeah.
But you feel like you're a closer friend when you get to see what that person's experiencing online, you know, and they give you a look into their life.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing with fandom, right?
Yeah. People want to be your friend.
Yeah.
That's all they want to do, is just be your friend.
So yeah. Which is cool.
At least, I mean, yeah. And you, it's, I mean, there's, that's why you're here. That's your job. Just to entertain people. You're an entertainer.
Yeah.
You got to, we're not sitting behind a computer all day talking to nobody. Like, we got to go out and entertain the people. And like, that's why we write the songs, because they understand and have the same feelings that we have feelings in the song. So it's like, I don't understand. If you already have a connection with the people, why not go make a better connection than it already is? So,
has there ever been an artist that you've had that connection with while you were a fan still, like before your career took off?
Yeah, Colby. Like, he literally stood there, and he, the advice he gave me, I don't remember actually what he said, but it was, because the whole day I was like, I waited from 1 o'clock in the evening until 10 o'clock at night to meet this guy. And he did. He came to the merch table and was like, the one thing I wanted to ask was, do you have any advice for a small artist? And he looked at me and he said, well, first of all, you're not a small artist. We're all artists. You're just at a different, we're just at, you know, we're at different levels. And he was like, just keep going. Don't stop. He's like, you have a dream, you can do it. And he's like, if that's what you want to do is play music for the rest of your life, I'm here, Stanley. You can do it. I know you can. And then after that, it just, I don't know, it put a fire under my tail, and I was like, all right, cool.
Hell yeah.
Then it was, and then like a couple years later, I played the same stage that he played on, and I went to a concert. And it was my first concert too. So it was kind of, it was kind of
wait,
wild.
Colby Acuff was your first concert?
First venue concert.
Gotcha.
I went to Railbird, but that's like,
yeah,
that's Railbird.
Gotcha.
You're in the burning heat, but at a venue where you go in and it's like there's four walls around you, that was Colby Acuff.
Hell yeah.
Pretty wild.
How about on the road since then? Anyone that you've like run into that you've kind of learned some things from, or just observed and kind of took in?
Definitely Whiskey Myers.
Yeah.
Going on the road with them, those guys, like, they're just smooth with everything. Like, the time you get there to load in, to stage set up, to sound check and all that stuff. Like, once you, I just kind of sit back and watch everybody, and once you actually pay attention and watch, you learn, and then you just, we took some of that and put it in ours, and it goes so much smoother. You learn from the good guys. And so Whiskey Myers, who else? Gosh.
I mean, Whiskey, they've been doing it for a long time, and they're a great camp to learn from.
Yeah.
Like, their sound guys are great.
Yeah. And they rip on stage, too.
Yeah. Oh, and I hadn't got to watch them because we had so many shows just back to back. We'd leave at, like, I mean, 30 minutes after our set was done to drive 4 more hours somewhere else. But I got to go sit and watch them, like, last weekend. It is the greatest show ever.
Man, they're great.
They're just like a full-on country-ass rock band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cody's voice pierces the crowd, both with the heavy songs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and the slow songs, just in different ways.
Both of them.
We got lucky enough to see them a few times this year. I got to see them in in Nashville with Kurt. We were like backstage, side stage.
It was sick.
And we had free Tocobo Chicos, which were awesome.
Dang.
And then we got to see them at one of the Tailgating Tall Boys that was in Iowa.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. That was fun.
We got to see that. It was absolutely fun.
That's so sick. So sick.
And we just had them on the podcast. So your episode and their episode will probably be dropping pretty close to each other.
Tourmates.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah. It was cool. You could tell they were like a little worn out. I think they had a full media day that day.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently they've been going for a while this year, too. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't realize you guys played that many shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do it.
Because when we got back to for those three shows, and I was like, where's Todd? And they were like, yeah, Todd, he's fishing. He said he had enough. I was like, no. He had a fishing tournament he had to go to. So he
did. Crazy.
That. Yeah.
We one of our buddies, Lee, is out on the road with him. I think he's like assistant
yeah,
TM.
Yeah, Lee. I love Lee. I stalked him the other day. He had like a whole bag of Chick-fil-A in his hand. And I was like, you want to go fishing? He was like, well, as soon as I said that, he was locked in. He was like, man, we go anytime you want to. He's like, come to Nashville, come to the park or wherever I'm staying, and you just we'll load up the boat, we'll go. I was like, all right, brother. I'll hit you up on that deal.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the new single, too. So you just dropped a brand new single.
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough to have in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's everything she does.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the inspiration.
Casey Baca.
Yeah.
When I met her in last December, we got together, and it's just been great, you know. And she's the best.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Took me from a boy to a man.
That's right. You know? Hell yeah.
And yeah, and I just in the mood that day when we wrote the song, I walked in, I was like, I want to write a little rock and love song. Mm-hmm. And we tuned her half a step down and dropped D and was like, mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
And we just started. It was me, Caden Wallace, Jared Scott, and Brett Truitt.
Cool.
And Brett produced it, right?
Brett produced it, yeah. And killer dude. Such
yeah.
a cool guy.
Have you known him long?
No, well, ever since me and Waylon did the Jailbreak stuff.
Yeah.
That's when I met him. We wrote Jailbreak in the studio, and then after that, I was like, yeah, I'll come back.
Yeah.
I'll come back. And so, yeah, we wrote that one, and I was just literally sitting there talking, just like, yeah, first time we met, she was drinking a Michelob, and then she's just my favorite person ever. She looks like a bunch of, she's just as pretty as these wildflowers that grows on the side of the road, and literally just talking. And from that, we were like, oh, this is good stuff. We're just gonna make this a heater.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we got to the first. I was like, ain't just kissing in the kitchen. And then from there, it literally just flowed. We've done it in about 45 minutes.
Wow. That's cool.
And after that, he's like, we got to cut vocals now. And we did, like, a scratch track. And I sat on it for 2 weeks, and I was like, yeah.
And then I
called a bus from 49 Winchester, and I was like, hey, dog.
I love Bus.
He literally, when we went to Europe in March, he just took me under.
Yeah.
He's like, you're my little child now. And I was like, yes. So
much funnier if you know Bus.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best role model, but really good at guitar.
he's great. So it named him my tour dad.
Uh-huh.
And every time I see him, we just hang out. I'm like, what's up, dad? What's up, son? How are you doing? So, it's the best. And he was like, you want me to play on your song? I was like, Bus, I want you to go. He was like, send it to me right now. And I sent it to Chase and Bus, and they were on the road in the hotel room with I think, you know, the keys player Tim and the steel player Timothy and Noah. They were all there, and he was just ripping on it. Now they sent me a video, and I was like, this is gonna be sick. And when we got it back to Brett, and Brett was like, yes, and then everybody on the team was like, yeah, and I was like, all right, well, we got to release it. And then I got my buddy, Trevor Daniels, who wrote Maxed Out with me.
Yeah.
He does a lot of film, or like pictures and photos for weddings and stuff, so he has this old film camera. We shot the music video in one day in Oklahoma City. It was like, was it one day, or was it like 2 or 3 days? I think we stayed like 2 or 3 days,
okay.
But still, it was so sick. It's old film. It just looks cool.
Yeah, like 8mm kind of nostalgic feeling.
Nostalgic, like, this is love.
Hell yeah.
This is real love.
I love it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that the 49 guys are on that track.
Me too.
That just makes my heart warm.
Well, I literally don't feel like I'm hanging out with a band. I feel like I'm hanging out with a bunch of bros.
Yeah, totally.
And they're just like, yeah, come on the bus and we'll just sit in AC and watch TV. I was like, man.
That sounds great.
that sounds great. And I'm in this 15-passenger Sprinter van with, I thought the leather seats were going to be a go.
Mm.
No, bro.
Not when it's warm out. Yeah, no, it's sticky. Bro.
You get in the van after it's been sitting there for a minute, and it's just like a sauna.
Yeah.
You can feel the heat waves coming off the seat just directly in your back. And it's, no, but, yeah. And they drive a, well, I can't say that because, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Europe is crazy, too, because it's like they're not as air-conditioned as we are.
No. And it's like double-deckers.
Yeah, the buses are cool, the Beat the Street buses.
Yeah. And
they're like, so sick.
You walk up, it's like, yeah, you want to go upstairs. What? And you walk up like 4 or 5 stairs and you're in the mm-hmm. next level. And you're literally sitting on top of the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And they said when you're driving, it's the craziest thing ever because you feel like you're about to hit something every time.
So. Yeah. We were in Germany on the Autobahn and it was like 4 in the morning because, like, you know, your sleep schedule's all weird. We're above the driver on the Autobahn on the bus and we're just drinking these delicious German beers. I don't know what they were called. And just like, hanging out. It's like the sun's going to be coming up soon, but it's like, this is so cool. It's awesome over there.
No, Germany's fun.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody just has a good, literally the best time.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, they all come up and go, beer. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was in the middle of, I think, playing a set, and by the time I got done, I had, like, 6 beers in front of me where people come up and sit them down.
Were you doing solo acoustic or?
Yeah, I was doing solo acoustic. It was me, my brother, and his wife. And then Zach John King was over there by himself. And I was like, not in a different country, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, I know I just met you, but come with us.
Yeah.
So he hung out with us, and after he got done playing his sets, we'd all kind of reintervene and just go have a blast.
Yeah, I love Zach. What a fucking nice guy.
Oh, he's so nice.
I just saw him a couple days ago.
Sweetest guy. And he's doing the stadium room walling, dude.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I was like, tell me what it's like. He's like, bro, it's so sick.
Yeah, for real. It's got to be insane.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been in town super long. I mean, he was doing music before, but
yeah,
it kind of happened pretty quick for him, too.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy
mm-hmm.
when I can just feel it coming, like, brother. You got it.
Is that how y'all decided to collaborate? Was it like being in Europe together? Or?
Well, yeah, that's how we became acquaintances. Mm-hmm. And once we hung out over there, I was like, you're a cool dude. And he was like, you're a cool dude. And I was like, we're friends.
Yeah.
And he was like, heck yeah, call me when you get back to town. And
we'll get behind the bar together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was in the shower. And he texts me this, you know, you get a text and it's like an audio recording. And I was like, I didn't even read his text. I just clicked on it and went, I forgot to wash my hair and everything. And I just rinsed off and got out and I called him. I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. I got to. I was like, this is such a sick song.
It is.
And yeah, so that's how that happened.
I love that.
Crazy.
Organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the boys.
Just the boys being boys.
Yeah. Just
driving one Chevrolets, up. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You make the music industry just seem so simple and fun.
Yeah. It's sometimes it gets difficult.
Yeah.
But no, that's tough. I think life is supposed to be just simple and fun.
Ideally.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. It's like, at the end of the day, all of the stresses that you put on yourself are usually put on yourself.
Well, yeah. Well, I feel like why most people stress nowadays is because they're just doing too much. Yeah. And they stress their own self out.
I do that.
And then they're like, I still do it today.
Yeah.
But I figure you do one thing at a time, your brain slows down, and you start doing the one thing right, and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go back in 2 days and be like, oh, what did I do?
I got 2/3 of it done. Where's the other third?
Yeah, where's that other third?
It's hard for me to, like, for me personally, it's like, I just like saying yes to everything.
Me too.
And because I'm like, what if I never have a music career ever again, you know? Like,
that's what turns in the back of my head every day. And it's like, yeah, you can't let that happen. So it's like,
Now, just recently, I've been in Nashville since 2012. Now I'm starting to say no to things. Like, I said no to something the other day. I'm like, hey, this rate's a little low. And they're like, that's all I have. I was like, I'm good. And I was like, I said no to something. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, it is very hard to say no.
Yeah.
It is. It's an interesting thing because yeses bring opportunity, but noes bring your brain.
Stress, bro.
Yeah, your brain being in a better spot sometimes.
Well, it's all... It's like, man, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this, but also, my fans are right there.
Yeah.
That's an interesting part of it, too. Like, I worked at Big Loud for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So I get to see like some of the rises of some of the people over there. Not like directly, but like to watch.
Well, yeah.
And watch like how many yeses Hardy said, right? Oh, yeah. On radio shows and, you know what I mean? Like, doing liners for whoever, and you know what I mean? Just watching that, and you're like, oh, it's a lot of work. Like, you don't realize how much work it is to say yes to stuff.
Well, it's like, when you get in a new city, when you do say yes, I say yes to just about every radio station, because I just love radio.
Yeah.
I just love going in and seeing their setups of them having all the old radio stuff and all the VHS tapes, all like little pocket. It's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually some... The one in our town, his name's Philip Gibbons. He's the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. And I'll always get a 94.7. Mm-hmm. But no. And they, you get to town, you go do the radio, and then you go figure out where you're going. You get to the venue, and then you have another interview. You have to do 8 video liners for the next 8 shows, and then you have to do... You know, you got to post on TikTok, because it's... Twice a day, or you're not doing anything.
Twice a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes more, bro. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy.
It's insane. A year and a half ago, I posted 1 video a day. And now there's not 40 million people on TikTok anymore. There's 40 billion people on TikTok now. So, it's tough.
God, what would I even post? I'd be like, all right. Eating breakfast now.
Yeah, literally, dude. It's crazy how you have, like, I'll just, it's wild. We're still, like, there for me, you get on tour. And well, obviously, it was our first year on tour, so we were still trying to figure out how to do it. And now we kind of
got it a little.
Yeah, now we got it enough to where, like, that's not right. Yeah, we need to fix that ASAP. But back then, it's just, I say back then, but a couple months ago, we were just, didn't feel like I had time for anything.
Yeah.
But in reality, I did. I was just too tired.
Yeah. Well, that's like...
That's part of it.
Life's about balance for sure. It's like, what do you balance the shows and the road, the wear and tear of that?
Your sleep, your eat.
Yeah. But like, shower. Socials is what got you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's what got the light shined on you, you know?
You got to stick to it.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And like... As you get going, you get more on your plate. When do you have time to write? You know what I mean? I remember...
I'm going to be back in town.
Yeah. I remember talking to you when we had you on the podcast last time about how you were like, I can't really sit down to write. It just kind of has to happen.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of been... It was harder in the beginning because I was just always at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... I feel like if I'm always in my bedroom and always sitting here trying to just write something, it's not going to be... organic enough for the people. But being on the road and now being back in town and just sitting down to, I've seen a lot more I've seen in my little 13x10 room. So now we can just, now if you go in a room with 2 other people, that's my kind of deal. One guy playing the guitar with me and the other dude sitting there with a notepad. And we're just hanging out. Just playing the guitars, and if once we think of, you know, like once we're just jamming and we kind of start humming, and then you start saying some, I don't know, it's not real words, but you're like
Getting the melody.
Yeah, getting the melody.
Yeah.
And then once you have that, you're just...
Go
whatever,
from there.
Whatever your heart desires.
Yeah.
Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're grooving on, mm-hmm. that's what you put down on paper.
Yep.
Not, oh, I thought of this unique line to throw into here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that a lot, but I don't know. I just like jamming
mm-hmm.
and then writing. Most people just write. I don't know how they do that.
I don't know, man. Just some. There's different ways to skin a cat, right?
You're right.
Yeah, everybody's brains.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're doing great.
Yeah, everybody's brains work a little different, and I think that's one of the cool things about like the co-writing thing is like you come in and someone might have the melody, and someone's like, "No, here's how you structurally make the guitar work on the back of that melody." You know what I mean? And like, and then someone could be lyricist or like someone comes in with the hook. You know. Yeah. I haven't really wrote.
All working as a team.
Yeah. I haven't really wrote songs, but I've gotten now to observe it happening sometimes. One of the things with me that I like worry about if I was to write songs is like music is kind of still my great escape from things. Like I can listen to music and kind of like take my brain to a different place, yeah, you know?
Kind
of
just.
And sometimes I feel like some of my songwriting buddies, especially the ones that have been doing it a long time, like they'll hear a song that I'm like, listen to this song. And they're like, oh, this melody is too close to this.
Mm.
And like, oh, if they said it like this, I'm like, man, I never want to be like that myself.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy music so much. I use it as such a, like, a reprieve.
Yeah, that you don't want to be nitpicking it all.
I'm worried if I get like too into it that I would nitpick. So I've always like kind of not done it.
Yeah, no, I guess I am that way.
You know?
Now that you say that. My girlfriend will show me a song and I'm like,
no, that ain't it for this reason. Yeah.
No. No. Let's go back to Muscadine Bloodline or something. Those guys.
Old that, standby.
Yeah, that's that's country music.
Oh, bro, yeah. Those boys, what they're doing has been super cool to see. And I love, like, it sounds Southern.
If I want to just jam and feel like an outlaw,
mm-hmm.
I'm putting, damn, Muscadine Bloodline on the radio.
Yeah.
Because they're just country and real to the bone.
Yeah.
And they write. Their songs are just like, you can see the story in your head. If you close your eyes, you just, me personally, I just watch it happen and I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
That's one of my favorite things about music and what I consider like to be my favorite songs is when you're like listening to the song and you can almost see a music video play.
Yeah.
Like you're envisioning it. That's when you know that like music is powerful.
On a wall right here in
the it's cool.
Yeah, no, it's the best.
I love telling that to like either my friends or sometimes like if I'm real close to an artist and they send me a song, I'm like, here's what I saw in my head.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not saying this is the visual to use. I'm just letting you know, like, this is what I saw in my head and it's cool that
dude, you
gotta
send me
there.
Some songs.
Yeah.
Put me on because I get on this kick where I'm like on one artist for a month.
That's Nick. One song, though.
Yeah.
Is it?
My version of ADD makes it like I will listen to one song like 250 times in like a week.
Is that an actual number or an exaggeration?
I guarantee it's not an exaggeration because I'll listen to a song on repeat for like 2 or 3 hours sometimes.
Wow.
Wow. But it'll also make me crush songs to where, like, I have to put them away for a while.
Yeah, no, that's what the point I get. But I'm like, I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But I got to keep it somewhere. I got to go listen to this in the next 6 months.
Nick, what have been some of your 250 play songs recently that you've been...
Really Want to Know, Old 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell at Night with Ella and Big X the Plug.
Yes.
The entire Knox album.
Yeah.
Like
I saw you posting about that the other day, yeah.
Yeah, just like the entire, do you know Knox? We had him on the pod.
I don't think so.
It's more like pop punky.
Yeah.
But he's like country adjacent, like he's here in Nashville.
Okay, cool.
His I'm super cool.
K-N-O-X.
Yeah. The thing I love about his album the most is it's not like a theme record, but it is. It's about just like the perils of love.
Yeah.
And like feeling like you're in love with someone, and some of it's about lust, and some of it's about like the right one, and some of it's about heartbreak. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just feels really cohesive as a project.
Knox.
Which is sick. Okay. Yeah. And then that Lil Wayne Big X the Plug song I've been going crazy over too. Mm-hmm. It's just called Hip Hop. So like,
you got on that Chase Rice tune for a while.
Oh, Little Red Race Car by Chase Rice.
Oh.
We got to hear that played live at our writers' rounds. By both of two of the guys that wrote it, and then hearing Chase play it, like hearing Chase's version, equally powerful.
Just
to the two like writers that we got to have play it. Like, I remember hearing Heath play it for the first time, and I was like, "Man, this song is like a freaking smash!" And then they were like, "Yeah, we got Chase Rice cutting it." I'm like, "Yes!" and then getting to hear Chase's version, not only that, but then he put out the work tape version. Yeah. So for his last record, not this one that he just is dropping, but his last record before, he put out like all the demos that he had, he put out to streaming, just so you could kind of hear like where they came from, which I thought was so cool.
That's
just
nice.
Being a music nerd, you know what I mean?
Because you're like, this is what it was.
Yeah, this is how we got, and this is where we got to.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was super cool. And some of them like have the, you know, of course, like the other singers on the track. Mm-hmm. So like, they got part of the master. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
For those, you know, and it's not even like those will have like a wild number of streams probably, but it's just like a cool, almost like
for the super fans
nugget for the super fans.
Yeah,
you know.
No, that's very nice.
I think it's cool.
I feel like I might do that.
Yeah,
there you go.
Put out a song like this is what we had.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we got.
Yeah,
behind the curtain.
I think it's cool, and even if it's not like on streaming, right? Like just. Yeah. Something where your fans can
throw
get
up
to
on
it.
SoundCloud.
Yeah, or like, hey, you're in my fan club. Here is a whole folder
of demos.
Yeah, like this is where they were before we got there. You know what I mean? No.
Or like, people say the acoustics a lot. Like every demo that I've got recorded is just an acoustic guitar and three guys sitting there going, "He's been on a podcast in a buggy parking lot." And I'm like. People would love to hear that, you know?
Honestly, they would.
Yeah, because I look back, when I hear people, like, who was it? Somebody showed me, like, a demo, and I was like, oh my gosh, you need to tell me that, oh my gosh, it's crazy. It'd just be cool.
I agree. Kurt, tell them where the wild things are, like.
Oh, yeah. So, way back in the day, we would have this Dropbox folder, and it was all Randy Montana songs that were uncut. Do you know Randy, songwriter? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he's a great writer. He was on like Beer No Broke My Heart. And
fantastic voice, too. He was an artist for a while.
Yeah. And so we had this uncut songs, and one of them was Boys, which Muscadine cut.
Yeah.
You know that song? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got to check my phone, see if I have it. But so we'd always listen to these uncut Randy Montana demos all the time for years. It'd be like 3 a.m. on the bus, and we'd be like, dude, play that boy song. What a great song. And another one of them was Where the Wild Things Are, the Luke Combs tune.
Dude.
So that's like the only tune that Luke's cut besides Fast Car, you know, that like he wasn't really a writer on. So, so we just listened to those demos like all the time. And now, you know, that song's like platinum smash hit or whatever.
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
Yeah,
you just listen to a song before it's ever released. Just because you, and then,
well, it was kind of like, who's gonna cut these songs, you know? Like Boys, I think it was on hold by Luke Bryan, I think, and then Muscadine cut it. And so the stories of the songs is always wild too, but
I know Joe has, like, Joe will show me some of these songs, and he's like, this one, I'm like, how do you even know that many people that knows that, like, that knows this
guy? I love
guy?
Joe. He's the best, man.
He is the best. Yeah.
And he knows so much about the history of country music.
Oh, he loves it.
And the old school.
I think Joe's taught that man's, now that, he's probably taught me a lot that I know.
Yeah, Joe Costa.
Yeah, Joe. Oh, yeah.
That's our boy.
Any of you don't know, Mr. Joe Costa and his lovely wife, Martina.
Yeah, produced Maxed Out.
And Martina did background
sings.
Vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I was over at Rob Williford's house, and Joe was over there, and they were just talking about country music history stuff that I had like no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go.
How about this song from 1976? And I'm like, what are you guys talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah, no, he loves his music. I'll go. It's cool, like, though. I'll go over there and Joe, I'm not trying to make you sound old, I swear, but he'll go, do you know this one song? And I'm like, he'll go, damn it, I forget you're 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll be so like, yeah, true. There's one song he released in 1989. And I'm like, I wasn't even thought of.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I was 2.
Yeah. I was 7. But I think that's part of it, too, though. It's like having those elder statesmen yeah. or having those people that like you respect their musical guys and yeah. them showing you things.
I mean, positive role model for sure. Yeah. Joe Costa.
Absolutely. Like I was lucky enough to have 3 older brothers and they all had different tastes in music and they kind of all showed me things that I was like, oh yeah, I like that. I might not like everything that they showed me, but I was like, oh, I like that.
I like that. Like little bits of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of how I built my stuff that I liked. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a music fan in general, that's like, your influences of how you want to sing and the stuff that you want to say, it all comes from life, but it also comes from like what you listen to growing up and yeah. getting little bits and pieces of it, you know? Like the first songs you're singing are songs that you're hearing on the radio and you're singing along with.
Yeah.
You know?
Then you're humming, you start to remember those songs. Yep. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to start playing those songs.
Yeah.
And then you start writing your own songs.
Exactly.
Totally.
And it's like, yeah. it's a mix of the things you learned and the things you like, and then the other people that you're writing with, too, the things that they learned and the things that they like. Then you just pull down magic from the air.
Yeah, for real.
What about touring? So you talked about being out on the road with Whiskey. I know after this, you're heading out.
We're headed.
What's the road been like?
It's been super fun.
Yeah.
Just... I will say it's difficult to get used to living with 7 other different people you've never lived with before.
Yeah.
But once you get over that and realize that you're going to live with them for a good while, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, once you learn how to live around each other
mm-hmm.
and start doing things the way they need to be done and going this and whatever needs to be done, but once you start figuring it out, it's all... But it's been super fun just doing the same thing every day. It's like, oh, I get to do the funnest thing that I love doing every single day. And it's just the best.
Yeah.
Traveling to new cities and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any like specific venue that has been super cool or turned out even better than you thought?
Mm.
You can think of?
Gosh, it's crazy because... all happened so fast.
I know. Yeah. People ask me that question a lot, and I never have an answer. They're like, what's the favorite place you ever played? And I'm like, I always say, like, Red Rocks,
yeah.
because, like, that's what other people think is cool. I don't know for me if that was cool or not, but, like, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. But I always think about it. I either have a couple shows that are, like, when we played in Pittsburgh at the stadium at Heinz Field.
Yeah.
And that crowd was just crazy. Or, like, I remember... one crowd in Canada, everyone just throwing beers everywhere.
Yeah. It's like, I can't have one.
Yeah. It's hard, man.
It's hard. Cause like 3 months ago, I would have said the studio at the factory in Dallas.
Yeah.
Was sold out. And Casey drove like 3 hours that day after she got off work to come to the show. And I was like, so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then once everybody showed up, they were all like crazy. They were like, I was like, oh, this is so good. I never felt better on stage in my life. And then mm-hmm. now it's like we played the festival at Prince Edward Island in Canada.
Yeah, Cavendish Beach.
Beautiful. That was insane.
Yeah,
there was so many people. They were just like, and it didn't matter if they knew my songs or not. They were like, and then that one, and then those Whiskey Myer shows and these Gavin shows.
Yeah,
they've just been crazy.
How's that Gavin thing been? My buddy Will was out on the road with him shooting photo video.
Good. It's been good. It's like the crowds are wow. really nice.
Yeah,
and like they'll respect you. Mm-hmm. But when Gavin gets up there, it's just like,
The beer is flying or what?
Yeah, it looks like a war zone.
It's wild.
Especially in this economy, throwing all those beers around, you know, they're like expensive.
You spend $25 on one tall boy.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, I'm going to spend 50 on two because I don't want to come back for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
They're and not throwing IPAs. It's like cheaper beer, hopefully.
Yeah. None of them are cheap.
Start selling something or I don't know. But yeah, $25 a beer is crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting too. Like, so we go to a festival every year called Country Concert. And it's in like Western Ohio. And it's BYOB inside.
God bless it.
Which is sick. So on the main stage, it's like beer shower city.
Yeah.
Right? Because you just brought your own Miller Lights and they're $1 each.
Yeah.
Easy.
I'll can two of these at you for nothing.
Yeah, no problem. And then the side stage, what they do is you can't bring your cooler in, but they sell beers in there and they sell Keystone Lights for $3 each and they sell Miller Lights for $4 each. So, and you get a discount if you buy them in a 12 pack.
I just think you bring $100 cash.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere else but a sound stage.
Yeah.
Just give
$5 for food.
Yeah. One corn dog for the day. You're good.
Yeah.
By the way, there's carbs in bread. You're fine. You know?
Yeah.
Or carbs in beer.
Just take a whole loaf of bread. And just eat the bread.
There you go.
It's like, I mean, beer is liquid bread. It's good for you.
Yeah, totally. Science, bro.
Yeah.
And it soaks up everything else. So, like, if you're too wasted, you need to eat.
There you go.
Bread. Yeah. Eat the bread.
Hell
but
yeah.
It's even in there, I mean, they're $3 each. You can throw a couple.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I remember I was at a rock festival when I was like in middle school or something. And I was with my girlfriend at the time. And this was like eighth grade. Her dad and my buddy Mark. There's like four of us. And someone threw a bottle of Surge and it like landed. It hit my buddy Mark on the leg. And it was full. He just whipped it back in the crowd. And my girlfriend's dad, slapped him on the back of the head. And he was like, "What are you doing?" And he was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Don't fucking throw that. You're just going to hit somebody." And he was like, "Oh, I didn't think about that." He's like, "Yeah."
Don't throw that. No, I think
that's a whooping.
Yeah, it's a whooping.
It's that's a little mini whooping.
That's
like,
a whooping. Dude, no, I've been getting smacked on the head is honestly worse than a whooping.
For sure.
True.
It just hurts worse. It just brings your manhood down.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The disrespect level is high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, for a long time, like if someone would slap me in the face and I didn't know it was coming, I'd just like see red.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like where you just kind of can't control.
Oh, yeah.
As I got older, I got better.
My mom backhanded me quite a few times. And it's just, I'd get embarrassed. I'd be like, "Don't ever smack me again." even my buddies were playing. Like, if they were just, we'd slap box all the time.
Yeah.
The hallway. Mm-hmm. And one day, my buddy made contact with my chin, like, good. And I couldn't do it. I was like,
Yeah, I got suspended with something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, I thought you were a good boy, Kurt.
No, I've been suspended a few times.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got in trouble a little bit in high school. I was like, I wasn't like a bad kid, but
I was a good kid.
Yeah, I was like drinking it away girls' basketball games and such. You know what I mean? In high school, you know. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't really necessarily bad. Bad thing was I had two older brothers who were not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So all the teachers already knew me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of like,
here's another one down the line.
I can't. Well, yeah, they expected me to, but I never really did anything. So
good. He's a good boy.
Yeah, they were all like my best friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What up, Teacher Mac?
Yeah.
What up?" You know?
Like,
so
works.
I had it pretty easy.
Pretty easy. That's pretty not easy. Bad. When I went, my brother Chaz is like 2 years older than me, and he was like real quiet and like well put together, got good grades. And then they got me, and they were like, "Oh, gosh."
Well, yeah, then now they got my little brother.
Yeah.
Well, they did. He just went homeschool, but they were like, "He doesn't talk." But when you get him out of school, boy, he's a damn heathen.
There you go.
Hey, everybody's different. It's like, when I was in school, I used to get detention for not doing homework. And then I was like, okay, I got to do this homework.
Yeah.
And then I remember like going to like a thing in school where it was like Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week, where it was like all the smart kids went, and mm-hmm. I went too for some reason, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
And then I was like, wait, these people aren't smarter than me. They're just a applying themselves. You know? Yeah. I was like, all right, I should probably apply myself now. That was like a switch flipped in my head.
I should probably start doing this.
Yeah. I was like, I guess I should probably like start doing my homework and like stop being an idiot and like do all of this stuff.
Well, homework was the easy part. Mm-hmm. It was just sitting an hour in the classroom.
Yeah.
Just like this without saying a word. That I couldn't learn anything.
Yeah.
I was just like, if I'm not, I don't know,
moving.
Just, hands if I'm on, not moving or walking something. Around the back of this classroom, I cannot focus on what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I got to, like, twitch my fingers. And then I always get...
You see me, I'm playing with the top of the lid right here.
I feel like I'm on jack or cord up.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a... That's definitely a part of it, too. It's like coping mechanisms and how you learn best. I mean, school was tough for me just because I had a hard time memorizing things. And a lot, like, I don't know if that's, like, as you got older, if they've stopped making it so much about that, but that was always a struggle for me.
Yeah, no, it's hard for me to remember things, for sure.
And now, all you gotta do is memorize your song lyrics.
Yeah. Right. And, but then, well, that's one thing, you know, that honestly, is pretty easy. Yeah.
Good. Pretty well, you're doing what you're supposed to do, I think, is the takeaway from all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep touring, bro, and rocking out and writing them good songs, being a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you can be.
Brother, that's right.
That's it. And honestly, like Kurt said, from the first podcast, and you still have that same energy now, just like it's infectious.
Well, if I ever lose it, just smack a hill at it.
Whoopins. I'll make you pick a switch.
Please. Yeah. Please. Have her whoop me. Right.
That's a different kind of whoop.
Yeah.
But man, thanks for taking the time before you head back out to come hang out with us.
Yeah, we're about to go see Gavin.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Tell Will I said hello. You'll see Will Smith out there. He's the long-haired photo guy.
Yeah, love him.
That's my roommate.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your roommate?
Yeah.
Young Will. No way.
Oh, yeah.
The glasses.
Yeah.
Dude.
Ain't no way, dude.
Ain't no way. Last time I was in here, I found out Colby Acuff was Kurt's neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaked my Bob.
Yeah.
And it just so happened he was recording with Matt right before this. It's all full circle.
That's crazy.
It's all full circle.
Full circle.
But man, we're super excited to watch you grow, get to see you play on freaking festival stages.
It's crazy.
Now you're on the road with Gavin.
Yeah, we went from playing little shows to opening slots at the beginning of the day to now we're playing festivals on the small stage, but it's like
that's where you build the fans.
That's where you build the connections and the fans, and yeah, I'm excited to go back out already. So yeah.
Well, brother, thanks like I said for hanging out with us. And next time we have you on, you'll be 21 and we can drink Surfsides on the
pod. We have a little Surfside.
Yeah. Like that. Maybe some Bush Light even. We'll see what happens.
Maybe. You know? I don't know.
But guys, thanks so much for listening. Yeah. Make sure you check out Baker's, all of his singles that he has put out since we had him on last, as well as the newest one. And keep on the lookout for even more.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, brother. All right. We'll see you next time. This is Tales from the Front Row. And God bless America and God bless country music.
Amen.